sometimes in the Word as the Word, and words can express various things. Can you link love and compassion as a content within that word? Because words may carry many things, and this isn't clear sometimes to
the word. Speak of.
Does intelligence always contain? Compassion and love are implied in the word. I have seen intelligent people that do not have compassion. And now true intelligence may always have maybe compassion if one is part of the whole.
Well, I am not certain I understand your question, but if I do not, I will respond further.
Some people could feel God is cold and partial and different and not there.
That is what I thought you meant. There is an aspect of our Father which is impersonal, that is, having no concept of self. You see, when you are all, there is no self. That would be limiting. A self is finite, and he is infinite, so he cannot be personal in that regard. As infinite, unlimited principle, he is not personal as a self might be, because law, as the law of the land, is not directed in different ways to different individuals, neither does his law. But there is an aspect of him that is personal. The highest, the most personal expression of him was his son. Because of this impersonal, and I do not mean to imply coldness by that word, but because of this impersonal aspect is why, of his principle, is why human beings sometimes consider him even cruel.
Yes, I'm understanding. I don't want to lose a word you're saying. Just continue to go on, and this is on my time. I'd rather than ask you questions, I'd like to have my time to continue to listen to what you're saying.
Perhaps I will address that. Yes, I will address that further. We discussed at one time that our Father is outside our ways of measuring things, and yet we try to measure him by the measuring stick that we use for ourselves and each other, and that cannot be accomplished. If we could limit him to what we can comprehend, it is truly a limitation, and this cannot be done. The reasons why things happen to human beings that do not seem justified is beyond our comprehension. It is because of the principle, and we do not understand that fully. God as nature, our concept of nature, is as cruel and unjust to human beings as ever we are to each other. But not with malice or it is simply the working of the principle, but we consider it unjust because we are using this inadequate measuring stick. That is all.
How can we draw forth compassion from that principle? By simply
the principle is not compassionate. That is not that aspect of
no.
our Father that where compassion dwells.
Help us find the light then for what our personal needs are to continue with. How does one draw forth compassion and understanding from that source?
All right, you do not mean from the principle of which I spoke, which is...
Well, from that aspect, of that, the word you've introduced is principle and aspects, and the
yes.
aspect of principle from which you speak may be appear to be impartial and...
Yes, it is. That appears to be, it is. However, that is only one aspect. And what you mean to know is how does the Father respond to us with compassion?
And how we then gain understanding and love by the request of it from the Father, but maybe from another aspect?
Yes, it is like that. It is difficult to explain this, but it is like that.
Wherein dwells the compassion, so that's what I'm saying. And
it is with... let me proceed in this way. He will reflect to us what it is that is our concept of Him. Now, we will find Him cold and impersonal indeed if our recognition of our Father is only that of life-givingness. That is what He will respond to. But as our recognition of Him and all His aspects increases, we are rewarded with a response that is greater until we have reached the place where we have an intimate relationship with Him. And this is why He was called our Father to begin with, because that does imply an intimate relationship. And the Father does have compassion and love for His children, but not all experience that because they do not recognize it.
And this is some of the most profound, and I've talked to some very fine minds in my lifetime, Jane, and you know, just I'm talking to you as Jane and as yourself now. Do you realize the wisdom that you've been additionally given in the last few weeks and months since we've talked to you?
I most certainly do.
Isn't it amazing how the system works, that you do the work and gain so much from it? I have just seen the innate... Did you have to sit down and think with your counselors to be prepared for this, or as you talk, is it given to you?
It is some of both.
Uh-huh. But isn't it amazing how the system works?
I would not express it that way, but I understand your meaning.
I was not here last time when you had said that you had a little information for me on the origin of man, and you had discussed the angels a little bit today, and these are some thoughts that you could share with me, since we've got different concepts of the... We've had people talk like you did from ancient civilizations, or they say they're from ancient civilizations, and describe the origins of life. And I wanted to compare the adventures of man so that I can get an understanding of the validation of the truths that I've been told.
What I was told, that I said I would explain, refers to you, since it was your question. It was implied to me that this is not necessary information for you to have.
Yes.
However, I was told some things I will relate to you. They were of interest to me as well. Man was created as spirit. We have discussed this before. However, he was spirit and only that for a time, and was given the choice as to whether or not he would take upon himself a body. That choice was made in a place on the earth was prepared for him. The story that is in the Bible of Adam and Eve is not truly an allegory. However, they do represent not just themselves, but all of those who were spirit and took upon flesh at the same time, if you understand.
Yes, we found the book, what was called the Book of Enoch, where it says the sons of God descended and entered into the sons, the daughters of man. And I'm not sure I'm quoting that right, but the sons of God descended into the daughters of man. Do you think that was a reference to...
I do not know of the book that you speak.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know if that is the same.
But man was created first as spirit, was given a choice of whether he wanted to be within matter, which
is
an interesting question.
Now, I was also told that the area that was where they first dwelled is no longer up on the earth, or is no longer available to men. I'm not certain I'm expressing that.
We were told the first society was called Acacian. Do you know whether that, or could you ask that at another time, whether that was the first society, if that is a correct name, were called Acacian?
They did not say that to me.
Uh-huh. Well,
no, that is not right. That is not. The first spirit, that is not. At the time that they were simply essence, at the time that of which we are speaking.
The Acacians were?
No, those that I speak that were created
at
the beginning.
They were only essence.
They became spirit once they developed their individuality. The sin that is spoken of, that is a symbol with the tree. It is not that they desire separation, but it is something akin to that, in that they did not wish to follow the directives of the Father. They had a difficult time, apparently, adjusting to the physical body and its needs and desires.
When you say they, Jane, they means plural, and we were told that the beginning was Adam and Eve, which was, at least our concept was, that there was only two people.
Now, there were more than the two. The two were, however, the leaders. There were more than two.
You mentioned the separation with the tree. Also, in that story of Adam and Eve, there's a story of their temptation by the evil one. Now, we've talked before about the presence of evil and how that affects people's lives. Do you have something that you can add to our understanding of the first temptation?
We had a very large discussion on the subject before you came. The temptation was, it was in part encouraged by those that we have discussed who would be, you would call them the devil. It is that force, not a specific entity. You understand what I mean?
It's that process. It is that process of division.
Yes, but it is that force, and you realize that at the time of which we are speaking, the separation of the angels had already occurred. So that force was there. It also had to do with the weakness of the beings who were human beings at this time, the weakness of the flesh in not being able to withstand this, and they did not realize the import of what they were doing at the time, and they did not understand. They began to fornicate with the animals, for instance.
Were the animals at that time of human form, such as the ape or the...
I do not know specifically. I was told that the animals were many and varied. And it was not to be so. At this time, you may be aware, I believe you are aware, that if that happens, that there will be no offspring from such a mating. At that time, that was not true.
That was not true at that
time?
That
was not true. So it was forbidden.
Then were there offsprings at that time?
Were there unusual creatures?
Yes.
Is it possible to describe them?
I have no wish to do so. I must tell you that I find this kind of discussion distressing, and it is difficult for me to do this.
Is there personal memory or just the awareness?
It is not to my taste. I will relay the information, but I want you to understand my feelings in this regard.
Yes, and probably ours too, Jane. Probably ours too, as you talk about it.
The area in which these first dwelt is at the bottom of the sea. That is what has happened. They were sent from that place. At that time is when man had to take care of his physical needs as far as food and shelter and clothing. It was not necessary until that time. It was provided by their Creator. there is in the story a reference made to the tree of life. Was there sustenance? It is a symbol of the substance, that they use to sustain life.
Is that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think I should explain to you perhaps why this is so distressing. You must realize that when I speak of something that is in your past, it is present for me, and I experience it.
You're not subject to time now.
It may not be distressing to you because it is distant from you, but it is not from me.
You know, when Anne describes what her experience is, she says that it's just like a panoramic view of what is wished to be presented. Are you experiencing that also? Like you're there?
Are you in that day?
It is difficult to explain. Yes, it is like that. It is like what I did when I first spoke to you. But I do not do this of my own accord. I am aided to do so, you understand?
Jane, what I hear is you're providing a service for us, and we deeply appreciate this. And I guess you know what I'm thinking. I do appreciate it, and if we need this is good. If we don't need it, we can go on to other things. But I didn't realize how profound a question I had to ask, and in that respect.
I must rest for a moment.
Yes. We only have a few minutes, and then we're going to stop. I do want to ask you one other question. A patient came in this past week and was having dental work, and he was frightened, and he said, I came in the room and sat beside him. I don't know whether it's helpful to convince him that that was an illusion, or whether as you were talking this last time was about the soul being in different realms. Can a part of me be with that soul? If it were my unconscious desire to be with him in the time of stress? Or is that, and should they be told, these are illusions that they carry out of their own needs?
Do you believe it was illusion?
I told him that I was there in spirit wherever he was, but I don't know the profoundness in which I'm saying that.
You told him that?
As an explanation following, I simply told him I heard myself saying, even if I wasn't there, I was there in spirit and would have wanted to be if I'd have known.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
I've answered my own question.
I would like to go back. You mentioned, I hope you're rested, okay?
It is well.
All right. Back to the other question of man's starting here on Earth. A lot of people have different ideas on how long ago that was by our reckoning of time. Are you aware of any kind of help in that area to describe how long this process has been going on here?
As I experienced it a moment ago. It was happening at the time. Approximately 1 million years. That is what I was told.
And you know, the scriptures tell us that there were giants in the land back then, real tall people, and that Adam and Eve were extremely tall. And yet we don't find any skeletal remains of extremely tall people.
And the giants had 24 digits, and another civilization told us that there were three giants of them who had 7 fingers and 7 toes on each hand.
I have no knowledge of the giants. I do not know. What I saw, they looked as people, but I possibly could not distinguish size from my perspective.
Okay.
I am very weary.
Do you wish to leave now, Jane, that we'll respond to your wishes?
I think perhaps that would be well.
Okay.
Did you feel welcome today? Are you okay?
I am well, thank you.
I haven't disturbed you too much by being firm.
It is not you that disturbs me, it is my own inability.
Oh, please don't do that, because we understand. I suppose you're as human as I am. I have made many mistakes, and I'm sure you have too.
To me, it was profound, Jane.
It is not an error. It is an inadequacy, I believe, to express myself properly. Perhaps I will improve.
To me, every word was profound.
And we will improve too. Our communication isn't altogether that good either, so I don't think you should take it upon your shoulders to take that part.
Perhaps, if I may, if it would please you, I would like to say a prayer.
Jane, before that, may I ask you one quick question? Last time I held Anne's hand, and that hand seemed to me that it was not Anne's hand. It was very soft and very pliable. Would that make a difference if I held Anne's hand now as you pray?
I do not know.
Do you mind if I do that then? Or would that be interfering?
Perhaps when the prayer is finished,
okay.
Can you do that?
Would
that suffice?
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. It's fine.
All right. When you pray to your Father, remember that He is not bound by time as well. Father, we know that we are like You, and because we are Spirit, we will not be sick, nor feel pain or hurt, nor be afraid. We know that at this moment You are renewing us through the Holy Spirit in accordance with Your highest desires for us. And for this we thank You. Now we will be still while You work. Now, if you wish, you may take this hand.
Very beautiful, praise you. doing fine, Anne. You're here with us now. You feel comfortable, warm. Just take your time as you breathe slowly, oxygen flow through your system. Very comfortable within yourself. Just take your time.
I bet you're hot, aren't you?
Your hands are as warm as toast. It's a funny thing, it's a different feeling than from her hand. Last time I experienced that too, it was a soft, like as if it was not Anne's hand, you know. And it grabbed it.
It looks like it to me.
Somehow changed it. I don't understand the feeling myself.
You can hit him. There's Anne. He says, Jane's hand was soft, not quite like Anne's hand. And I said, you can hit him as Anne. He was making the sensation difference.
Yeah, he told me about that. That's kind of weird.
So where did you go today?
Well, it was very peaceful, but I went to the same place. Didn't say anything like I saw the last time. When I talked to, I know I had seen three. Not all the way this time. I'm okay, I'm just not quite here yet. You kind of give me a few minutes. I guess they're just not going to let me know what it is that we do.
Yeah, what you're talking
about. I had such a good feeling when I come back that I figured it can't be bad. And when it feels so good, you know what it is?
I just put into your unconscious whatever session went on, went into your unconscious.
I don't know. They don't show me the room anymore. I haven't seen that two or three times. But I guess that maybe, you know, enough is enough.
How long is the scene you're talking with these folks?
I don't know. How long did we talk? Quite a while, huh?
Almost three quarters. I mean, an hour and a half almost.
Anywhere near that long, to tell you the truth.
Do they seem like they get organized? I mean, do you sit down? Do they begin and complete and end something within that time? Like a good system? I mean...
Yeah, it feels like, I have a feeling when I leave, though, everything's finished. Mm-hmm. We don't end in the middle. Okay. No, it's just a feeling.
Do they talk at you or with you?
I have sort of a vague recollection. I can't tell you what we say, but I can remember sitting in this room that I've told you about before. Well, the room isn't the right word. This misty place. And talking with them rather than just being lectured to, for instance. Mm-hmm. Talking with them. And also seeing the pictures of something. I don't know what.
Do you know what's happening? Since all things are now, you're being given the instructions of what you're telling us at the same day.
What? I don't understand.
What's happening, even though it's not possible to believe right now? You're seeing the simultaneous action that we're being told and instructed to what probably maybe Anne is telling. Well, I mean, that doesn't make sense either, because this is Jane telling us, and this is Anne being taught to us, you see.
Yeah, well, unless the... Oh, yeah, no, I see.
I'm talking very abstract. This is about five or six jumps beyond logic, let's say, although it makes profound sense to me. Anne is Jane, and Jane is Anne, and yet they are two different people. And the reason Anne is Jane and Jane is Anne is because they're all part of oneness. And separateness is false. Anything that is not oneness is falseness, as she said. So this is all illusion. Okay?
You understand? Good. You explain it to me.
I'll have to work it for a while. Ben wasn't. He says, "You must understand, we are all one, and God is one. And anything other than oneness is falseness." Okay. This is the first part of this tape. It's a profound. I've talked with a lot of good Jesuits and a lot of good. There's some real profound things in this that you can abstract it. We really need discussion groups and small group to take the philosophy of what's being said here. Anything that isn't oneness is false.
Anything that is oneness is truth, and anything that's separate from oneness is falseness, mm-hmm. and not true. And probably at the end of time, or not the end of time, at the beginning of time, the middle of time, the end of time, we are all one with the Father, and are of the Father. That Jane is one, Anne is one, you are one, and I am one, and we're talking to different illusionary characters such as we're illusion. This is not really me that you see here.
That's true.
See, this is a representation of the best of which I could produce.
It's only a reflection of the true thing.
It's only a reflection of the true thing.
Okay.
And then giving certain handicaps which I have to climb over, my aches and pains and my other stuff.
You said something one other time after a session, and you said something about you, and it's been mentioned to me just a few days ago, so it was fresh in my mind. Laura mentioned it to me. It's all right, Laura. About the comment that you made about, how did you put it? You can see us, Jane and I, merging sometimes, some kind of a comment like that. Now, is that what you're saying again today? You said,
no,
I am her and she is me, and I don't know what I'm saying.
On a different level. Jane.
Well, we should make that clear.
Okay, well,
it's right there.
Yeah,
I'll
try it.
Okay.
Let Anne, in other words, Jane will make this clear to you. When you hear the first part of today's tape, okay, she says, now, it may take you a while to understand this. Now, you actually could put that on, let her, Ben would like to probably hear it. I don't know how much time you got.
I don't have a playback.
Yeah, he said.
Well, I can grab mine from the other room.
I have somebody come in at 4 o'clock.
Is your transcriber at home, or your...
The playback is home, yeah. Well, the duplicate is home, yeah.
This is his new toy here. It's only a recorder, huh?
It's all, yeah.
Oh.
But it'll come out far, far more clearer than the other one. And I need it because
yeah,
if
it comes out at all.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, so in other words, I should listen to it.
Well, we're talking at two levels. Where we are right now, absolutely Jane is not Anne, and Anne is not Jane. Okay, and absolutely I am not you, and you are not me. Absolutely.
Okay.
See the difference?
Yeah, I
absolutely
yeah.
Different.
It sure seems all right to me.
Right. Now, and it's uncomfortable for whatever reasons that way. And yet there is some comfort in coming closer together and understanding each other. There's a comfort in being closer to each
other. That's what I'm saying,
but I'm merging. Merging is mine, okay. Now when you hear, remember I was running around about 6 months ago and telling you about this guy Zeno who developed a dialectic, the plus and the minus and the conflict between oneness. Well, he lived in the ancient Greek times, and I'm sure probably at that level prior to Christ was an inspired mind. He wrestled with the idea of oneness and manyness, and the idea of plusness and minus being a dialectic, meaning that when you take one side of the issue and I take the other side and we knock heads in that, some kind of spark flying, if we really don't care who wins, but really want to see what the truth of the matter is. Like you and Henry getting a good argument. Even though you really don't care who wins, you want to understand the truth. You want to really understand it. Okay, that's the dialectic. You're into this. Jane is into this, saying, now, this will be difficult for you. But you see, there is only oneness, the Father. There is the principle, which is Jesus, who came upon earth to reflect compassion to the earth. Okay? But there are other aspects of the Creator, of the Father. The Father is only one aspect of the Creator. Okay, that is the warm, caring aspect of the Creator. There is parts of the Creator then also which are impartial for wholeness to exist. I mean,
impersonal.
All right, well, the opposite of personal. Maybe her words are, but gravity affects all things equally. But if you call upon the Father aspect of the Creator, gravity, the Father will come and be with you to affect you differently in relationship maybe to gravity, if. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason, okay? Oneness and manyness. She said, this is very important, that only oneness is truth. All else is untruth. Any separation from the Father is an illusion. Okay, the fact that you're there, your soul in you is one with the Father, and yet for reasons of your own autonomy, you're different. We'll have to search out why does one need autonomy. Why do you like to be Ben Templeton rather than Dr. Bauman? What's the advantage of you wanting your own autonomy over me? And do we at time...
I have patient falls in
the water. Yeah, that's right. You'll get the feel when you listen to the tape.
Anytime. May I say this for Anne's benefit? The merging, I think what Dr. Bauman meant is, you know, if you go on a freeway and you see a sign that says merging in traffic, it doesn't mean that you jump into the other guy's car and become one car. Figure that one out.
That's profound, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think the first part of the tape is interesting. There's this oneness and manyness. And if all of creation originally came from God, and we are all oneness, you and I are oneness, it's at a level that we really can't comprehend right at this point. We will meet in mutual ideas. We'll agree on certain things, and we become oneness in that agreement. Okay, and the differences dissolve. For some reason, the Creator, I suppose, to have all things exist and to create things other than oneness, had to have manynesses. Now, you and I are manynesses, and yet we may become onenesses in certain things. In your philosophy, as Jane talks, she describes profound, this stuff is profound. It's giving me ideas that I couldn't have even in my remotest dreaming them up. Even researching them, I don't think could have come about.
But there's something about it that the Jane of the early times who was talking about being sad.
This is April 10th, Friday, 1981. It's the end of the tape anyway, so I'm going to, because I have to take it in a minute.
Yeah, well,
oh,
it's all done anyhow.
Fine.
I've only got about another.
That's right, I forgot you might need that.
30 seconds on this.
Okay.
You mean we were recording
a
little bit too?
Yeah, every year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
you're
always erase it.
You're really good for